Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student. I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this. I ain't new to this. My style is rich. It's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony.
Go BBS Radio.
Top 10 team will finish the season unranked.
Florida State, they have no business being in the top 10.
Number 10, Florida State goes down.
They have a quarterback who remains a question mark.
A sidearm lob and it's intercepted. Another wide open receiver and he misses Darion Williamson.
I think they used up too many tears crying about not getting in the playoffs.
After a 19-game win streak, that's three losses in a row now.
Extremely disappointing that we're not better.
We're live here another week of the Tony Sands Show. Last week, listen, we had a top-tier guest. We had, listen, one of the Hall of Famers came in. Michael Irvin came in, dropping nuggets about the Dallas Cowboys, came in to enlighten us in a way that we that some may have thought that the Dallas Cowboys were going in. Even me, because we didn't make no off-season moves. We didn't anything. But when we talk about off-season, guys, we got to listen. It's been crazy. It's been crazy when we talk about off-season moves because we got to talk about off-season moves for college football. A lot of teams made moves. A lot of teams made all over the place. Miami, Florida State, Texas, Michigan, Kansas. Everybody made moves. But some teams' moves did not pay off. Florida State comes out of week two in the same situation that they left off in last. And if you heard that soundbite, you're just now joining the Tony Sands Show. If you want to call in and chat with your boy, it's 888-627-6008. My man Vaughn is going to be joining the show. Listen. That's why I'm telling you. It appeared to me coming out last year because I got on Facebook and I went Facebook Live because I wanted to let people understand the situation that Florida State was going into when it came to was they going to be able to get in the playoffs. And I told people that morning, I said, Florida State's not getting in. They're just not getting in. And when I stated that, everybody, a lot of people jumped all over me for that. Oh, this, that, and the other. Why are you saying that? You're hating on Florida State, this, that, and the other. No, I'm not hating on Florida State. I'm just telling you the facts. I'm just telling you the facts. They're not getting in. Listen to me, people. They're not getting in. And I broke it down in detail why they're not getting in. And then it came to the final hour of countdown to see if Florida State, and Florida State did not get in. They did not get in, folks. So when they did not get in, everybody was all over my page saying this, that. And then I came back and I told them, I said, listen, man, they didn't show me enough for them to be in it. They didn't show me enough for them to be in it. And not only that, when they did, was able to get in a bowl game, it was atrocious. Almost outlandish to see that we were able to, you get in a bowl game and then you stink the whole joint up. Then everybody said, oh, well, the guys held out. Those guys are pissed off. They didn't like it. So now everybody is pissed off. Everybody is hot. They're upset. Oh, They did Florida State wrong. Florida State went so much as to sue for entry into the situation. Well, you got entry. You sued. Possibility you wanted to leave the conference. You leave the conference, where do you go? You're not fit to me for the SEC. You didn't look tough enough last year. That's why I'm saying to you. You just did not look tough enough to me. Now, maybe some people think different. Florida State fans might have thought different. And if there is a Florida State fan out there, please jump in and call 888-627-6008. And we can chat about that if you think that I'm different. If you think that I'm being biased. If you think there's anything else. Not only am I saying, if you listen to that earlier soundbite coming into the season, Paul Feinbaum stated the same thing. Thomas, do me a favor. Play that soundbite for those that may have just joined the show and may feel like I am ripping Florida State. Yeah, I'm going in on it because I feel they haven't showed enough for their fan base to understand. This is why they're in this situation, but we're going to dab into that. This is why they're in the situation that they're in. Because guess what? They just are not that team. They're not that team, guys. They're not. Yeah, let's play that soundbite.
Top 10 team will finish the season unranked.
Florida State, they have no business being in the top 10.
Number 10, Florida State goes down.
They have a quarterback who remains a question mark.
A sidearm lob, and it's intercepted. Another wide open receiver, and he misses Darion Williamson.
And I think they used up too many tears crying about not getting in the playoffs.
After a 19-game win streak, that's three losses in a row now.
I'm extremely disappointed that we're not better.
Listen, and my main man V is joining the show. V, what's going on, my brother? We got V ready? I know he's there. He's driving, so he's taking time out to join the show. It is, listen.
Good evening, Tony. Good evening. I'm here, brother. Good evening. How you feel? Back on the Tony Sands show for another exciting season.
Listen, man. Listen, I feel good. Let's go. Let's go. Great. But I'm going to tell you.
Right.
You know I know where your heart at. You know I know where your heart at.
That's
and
right.
I know it's been aching. It's been, if you saw, listen, if you heard that soundbite that I led into the show with,
which
we're
I did.
Talking, we're going to jump into Florida State and we're going to go on down the line till we get to the NFL season. But let's talk about, I want to talk about Florida State.
All right.
And I want to talk about Florida State from a standpoint of, we're going to go back to last year where they did something. They had a good season, but yet and still toward the end, they felt that Florida State wasn't deserving to get in the playoffs.
Okay.
Paul Feinbaum said, I'm quite sure you heard that very clear of what Paul Feinbaum said about Florida State.
Yep.
Okay. Florida State, they get in the bowl game. Everybody's saying, oh, you know, they soured it. They didn't get into the playoffs. So they get in the bowl game, and they did do they stunk up the joint. We must say. They
right.
stunk up the joint. So now we come into this season. You guys go over the you travel over the pond. Florida State travels over the pond. Get over the pond, and I'm quite sure a lot of Florida State fans were saying to themselves, here we go, boy. We're going to show them why we deserve to be in the playoffs. We deserve that. And Vaughn, they didn't deliver. I want it to come from a Florida State fan. I don't want people to think that I'm bashing. I'm gonna let you maybe you can enlighten me on the situation that Florida State is in.
Well, first and foremost, excited to be back on another season of Tony Sands Show.
Yes,
Tone, listen, it's no excuses, ladies and gentlemen. There's no way that anybody can make up any reasoning on why Florida State lost these two games. This is an inexcusable back-to-back losses from a very prestigious, proud school and with a lot of expectations, including going to the college football playoffs. So we are in a bad spot as a Florida State fan, players, coaches, alumni, boosters, everybody. the Florida State Seminoles are in a bad spot. And here's the thing. Anybody that's out there watching Florida State or interested in what's going to happen with this team, Florida State is just trying to win the next quarter, ladies and gentlemen. They're not trying to win the playoffs, go to the playoffs, win the ACC. We're just trying to win one quarter of solid football and then go to the next quarter and then hopefully put together four quarters of solid football.
But wait a minute. Hold on. But where was this type of energy coming out of last season or even coming into this season? Now, before y'all went across the pond, was this the same attitude that Florida State fans were having?
Absolutely not. Everybody was ambitious. Everybody was expecting this team to go to the college football playoffs this year. So 12-team playoffs. Everybody is excited. We are expecting Florida State Seminoles to be in the college football playoffs.
Correct.
Now, after losing these two embarrassing football games, if they would have lost one game, the first game, the Georgia Tech game overseas, we technically could have found a way to say, listen, they traveled all the way over there. You could have built in some excuses if you would have came back and done your due diligence at home against Boston College, put the hammer down on this football team, show the world that, hey, listen, we're still Florida State, we back. That didn't happen. We lost back-to-back football games against two teams that are not even on our level, talent-wise, coaching-wise. But, hey, listen, on those given days, they were the better team. Florida State is in trouble. There's no other way to be able to, you know, shape this thing. And, again, we're not talking about winning divisions or the ACC conference, rather, or going to the playoffs. We just got to focus on putting four quarters of solid football together.
And like as you said, now you got to concentrate on putting four quarters. So the playoff picture is pretty much grim for Florida State. It's pretty much a grim situation. As a matter of fact, Thomas, let's play. I want to see what Stephen A. Smith and them had. They were talking about it on First Take this week. And Thomas, can you start that at 30? I'll start that at 33-second mark. So that way fans can get an idea.
Right on the money with that prediction. FSU stunned by Boston College 28-13 last night, fell to 0-2 on the season. Shannon, your thoughts on FSU's rough start to the season?
Yeah, they're just not as good as the voters, the odds makers that had them at number 10. They're just not. The quarterback, he didn't get a whole lot of help, but he missed some throws. And that's kind of been his MO throughout his career at Clemson, the Oregon State, and now at Florida State. They're not good on that side of the football. The defensive line didn't play well last night. They're supposed to have all these draft prospects, and they just didn't play well. Give Boston College credit. Boston College beat them in every aspect of the game last night.
Stephen A?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And here's what I personally want to say this. I think Florida State's program is in a world of trouble.
Vaughn, you're Stephen A. say it. Is that true that y'all program is in trouble right now?
I think he's going a little bit far right there. I mean, I understand we lost two games. We're in trouble. We're not looking good. I understand. But say that the whole entire program is in trouble, that's a bit much. Where I think the program is in trouble is where a lot of these teams seem to be in trouble with the youth right now. What motivates a young athlete to play this game? Does he want to play? Does he want
to
play
right now?
Well, money.
It used to be motivation to win and dominate, but money now has superseded that drive.
So, well, that's the case now, and I'm agreeing with you, but now comes the factor of, are these kids at Florida State motivated? Have some of these kids, receive fruits of the labor of NIL deals and other accoutrements, so to speak, that an athlete gets going to college? Are these kids motivated?
Listen, okay. And I'm going to tell you something. I was talking to some guys that, I talked to some Florida State players that played at Florida State. They went overseas with Florida State, went over the pond, played, watched Florida. And the one thing that came back before even this Boston College game, they said, Tony, I don't see that fire. I don't see the drive. The only thing I see in them is the bling, the luxuries. Right. That this game has afforded them. See, in my days, we couldn't say, the luxuries that the game have afforded. We could say the things that the game, position that the game has put us in. This generation can say the luxury that this game has afforded Have they gotten the luxuries? Have they gotten the payday and said, guess what? Well, if I'm not successful here, I jump in the transfer portal and go somewhere else. So now are we seeing with Florida State the other side of the NIL, how it hurts you? Because we down show down south, we're seeing how the NIL has benefited you. Miami program is looking like they look like they're trying to go back some ways now. They got a couple more, they got some more games to play for us to say, ooh, Hurricanes are looking good. Florida State. Now, when I looked at the press conference, this the one thing I told you this earlier. Avell looked defeated. I'm gonna be honest.
He has to. I mean, this is a major upset, Tone. I mean, all the practice that he's had, all the preparation, all the, you know, the expectations. I mean, everything went kind of like out the window in eight quarters.
Because he looked it, and now here goes the pressure situation with DJ. Do it, DJ, as your quarterback. At what point do you bench a $1 million kid?
This kid has only two quarters. He has to play sufficient quarterback play in the next two quarters. If Florida State goes into this next football game at halftime tied, close, or down, the Norvell has to make a change at the quarterback position. You can't continue to go like this. And you know what, Tone? There should be other players, mainly on the defensive line, the offensive line. A lot of people need to be benched, possibly, if they don't get their act together in the next two quarters.
But it's what now, and I've talked to some Florida State people, and they said what's behind Florida State is that the backup quarterback can play. But now you've paid this guy $1 million. You paid it. It was a bit more. It was a bit more out there at one point for the quarterback position. And I think this is where we're going to find out how the NIL is possibly have gotten out of control.
Absolutely out of control, Tone. Absolutely.
And you're going to have, at some point, how do you reel it in is going to be a whole nother animal, how you reel in NIL. For the simple fact is that, listen, look at these, look at, and Florida State is a prime example. We invest, Nick Saban said it on College Game Day. Everybody's around here talking about this $20 million payroll. Mm-hmm. But if you paid the wrong people, you in trouble. And I think he was mainly shooting that at Florida State that, Avell, you in trouble. Because now you put out this money and said that this is what the return was going to be. Now the return hasn't met the value of the money. Do now we start hearing the rumbling and the grumbling that, hey, Norvell might have to be replaced. And I know you guys just recently gave him money.
But, and here's the thing. DJ Uiagalelei, albeit that he got the money and he's gotten the attention and the notoriety and everything like that, right now, coaches' jobs are possibly on the line. Livelihoods are on the line. Correct. So now we're going to make it a business by him acquiring money in an NIL deal, name, image, likeness. Well, the coaches are saying, I have a household I have to provide for also. So it's business across. It's business for DJ to make his NIL money. And it's DJ for this coaching staff to preserve their jobs. So I only think he has two quarters to preserve his job.
And so we go into this next game with Florida State, and if he doesn't do well, okay, if he doesn't do well and play when you're throwing the ball and you're missing wide open guys.
Right.
And all of a sudden now you go into this game here and you continue the same play that you played in the last eight quarters.
Right.
How do you justify it? It's like in the league.
You justify it by saying livelihoods are on the line because he got paid now. See, this is, as you mentioned, this is no longer amateur sports. Now, this is big business. So big business says, I got a contract I got to fulfill and a livelihood I got to maintain and a home to pay for. So I'm not going to allow you to ruin my livelihood and make me possibly lose my job. So I think that these coaches are going to gather around, if they're smart, they gather around 44 players. The first and the second string on both sides of the ball, gather everybody around and tell everybody plain and simple, people are going to come in who don't do their job. Anybody that comes in for a first stringer or a second stringer, you get replaced by a third stringer. If that person plays, you might not play again until you get to the transfer portal.
But they did. Okay. Let's look at D. Let's call him, because I'm going to call him as
your you got to bench some guys and make a statement. And if that means DJ Uiagalelei got to sit down for this next quarterback, this backup quarterback that we got sitting there, if that's what it's going to take for Florida State to win, by all means necessary with this football team.
But right now, what if one of your top boosters have donated this money to you?
You got to ask.
Do you think this booster want to see this kid sitting? Now that pressure comes in, do that booster step in and say, hey, listen, I've donated a lot of money to Florida State, and I gave this kid $1 million. I didn't give you this kid $1 million to sit on the bench. So now it goes to coaching, understanding about talent.
Right.
Did Florida State read this talent right? And if they didn't read the talent right, Novell, you are a great offensive mind. How are you not seeing this? Now, mind you, this is the third stop on this kid's journey.
Maybe he's seeing what Dabo saw a long time ago.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying in the transfer portal. Dabo said, hey, go ahead, be my guest. Because as we see, Dabo is not even dabbing into the transfer portal. Dabo's like, nah, I ain't doing it, bro. And listen. Have you heard some of the comments that's been made about the Dabo situation?
I have. And you know what? To be honest with you, I really like what Dabo Swinney's doing for this same reason.
Because
what's happening now is at the quarterback position in particular, okay, you bring in a guy to learn Norvell's system.
Correct.
He's Travis, who was the quarterback last year, I think we all would agree, doesn't have the physical attributes that DJ Uiagalelei, quote unquote, is supposed to have. So Uiagalelei looks like a better quarterback than Travis, but Travis was running the offense better. Now, maybe he groomed him. You know, this kid worked in the system for more time. So what I'm trying to say is that mixing and matching quarterbacks and pulling people out the portal, it's really just gambling every year.
Yeah, yes, it is. But what I'm saying with Dabo is just refusing that Dabo's saying he's not going in the transfer. And if you notice, when Dabo got blew out, there were some controversial words being said. As a matter of fact, let's check. I want to hear this soundbite. Start that Clemson soundbite at 105. Let's listen in at some of the things that are starting to be said about Dabo. And I'm going to tell you, I called one of my insiders that actually played for Clemson, played for Dabo. Later on, after this go off, I'm going to tell you exactly here what this guy said. Play that soundbite for me.
Over the place in a good way. Former NFL wide receiver Roddy White is facing backlash after he blamed Clemson's loss to Georgia for having way too many white dudes on the field. He's probably right. The former Atlanta Falcons player spoke out after Clemson's 34-3 loss against Georgia. Clemson got way too many white dudes on the field on offense. This ain't them. You mean to tell me you only got one black dude out there making plays? That's a recruiting problem, he said. Number 14-ranked Clemson was only able to rack up 108 yards of total offense and failed to score a single touchdown. Let's take that away. Now, we're going to take that away and then give it to you the way that we typically digest the same information differently, right? So let a polished approach, as they would say. Booger McFarland going to break down. What the hell wrong with Clemson? Let's go.
Clemson, though, it's the third time for Dabo Swinney in his career as the head coach where he suffered a 30-point loss. The first time that we've seen it since 2013. What happened? Because we didn't learn a lot of things in those four quarters.
Well, it's a couple of issues for Clemson, and I'm afraid to say it's the same old thing. No creativity on offense. It's been the same stale offense for 4 or 5 years. The quarterback, Kay Klubnik, no ability to push the football down the field. And if you're a Clemson fan, you have to ask yourself, when are we going to change? When are we going to be able to be creative when we don't have the explosive players that you've already heard of, Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins? When you don't have those generational players, the creativity has to to change. The defensive line was outstanding in the first half, but they just couldn't hold up all game long when the offense doesn't hold up their end of the
bargain. We heard Sean and Greg talk a little bit about it, and it's going to be a theme that Dabo won't shake, the transfer portal. Yeah. If you go back to 2018, they have zero starts from incoming transfers, especially in a sport that is adapting and very
terrible.
Listen, man, come on. You got you got incoming transfer and you don't start none of them. Why did you even bring the kids in, though, Pete?
You know what it is? I think Dabo Swinney is trying to hold on to the old way of him doing things and when he's successful.
Yes,
a lot of coaches fall into this mantra. You know, it's like, I've done it. I've been successful at my way. I'm going to do it my way, you know. And I think that he's going to unfortunately fall on the sword eventually by –
Now,
if he's got to get a quality quarterback in there, similar to Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson.
Listen to me. Listen, and I called one of my sources that attended Clemson, played for Dabo this week, about a day ago, one of their biggest boosters.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Backed away from the program.
Mm.
Backed away from the program.
I mean, it's one of those things that they're not current on how they're doing college football business. But I get it at the same time. I get it.
At what point? What is it that you're saying you get it? Okay. Mm-hmm. But you get the stubbornness in Dabo, they're saying, listen, I don't need this. Because how many, and let's go over the last five national championship teams.
Okay.
Does that makeup of a team fit any one of those teams that the last five to six national championships? It doesn't fit.
No, but let's see, I think though that they've gotten a recruiting issue. See, they were getting premium talent before. Isaiah Spiller. You know, this goes back to a long time when they were getting quality players. But right now, it seems like for some reason that there's a major drop-off, and rightfully so. College football right now is not only business, but it's very hard to recruit across the board to get quality talent.
Correct.
There's talent because there's talent everywhere. Everyone has players now, you know. So now it's going to be harder for Dabo Swinney to attract people to come to Clemson. And even just out of high school, I think it's just going to be harder because the landscape has changed from 7-8 years ago, let's just say.
And Dabo is, like it's in the same source said, Dabo is stubborn. He's not, because you know why? Dabo knows he's comfortable.
And he's won.
The way to make, now you got to remember, Miami's AD is from where? Clemson. Him and Dabo couldn't see eye to eye. He leaves and go to Miami. He gets down to Miami and says, guess what? They're both ACC teams, correct? Yes. Okay, since I could not control you from a standpoint of being with you, I'm going to dominate you from a standpoint of someone else. And that someone else will be Miami. Now, I'm going to go down there and get their boosters. And we're going to open up this transfer portal to no end. And we're going to bring in superstars. We're going to win the ACC. So now, if he goes to Miami, he wins the ACC. What does that say for Dabo?
He's in trouble.
But you and I and everybody else would think so. But they said, this store said, they're not going to let Dabo go. They say Dabo is like God. They say the only thing, and this is exactly what the words they told me, the only way that Dabo Swinney would be let go, the only way that Dabo Swinney is if, and this is what he said to me. So I say, wow. As if he went, found the main street down Clemson and walked down the street with his clothes off.
Well,
He's won
for them. No one else was winning for them. He's indoctrinated. He's there forever now. Like in terms of like the lore there.
That's what I'm saying. They saying he is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because they say the makeup of the team, and this is what he gave me, the makeup of the team, 70%, and not, you know, hey, how you win is how you win, as long as you get them in. Mm-hmm. 70%, 30% of the team is pretty much, you know, black, and they said, you know, it varies. The walk-ons, you know, even the walk-ons, they're saying, you know, his son, some of these guys that are on this team now, our friend was friends with his son that played in high school. That played with him in high school, buddy.
See, when so you now, got a lot, when you got a lot of money and you've already won, you no longer are looking at things the same way. He doesn't like the NIL and how college football has.
But you got to change with it in order to win. You're fighting out.
I agree, but what's going to happen is this is going to be a slow demise for him. And no, he won't get kicked out right away like some coaches get dismissed in a year or two. But in 2 years from now, when they haven't won, and then now they start getting steamrolled by lower-level schools, then all of a sudden they're going to start saying, man, this Dabo Swinney thing done wore off now.
But and when do too, we make – okay, and we say about Dabo, and we're saying Dabo, and we're going to stay in ACC for this.
Okay.
Where does it come? Do Norvell start feeling the pressure?
Well, he feels the pressure. He has immediate pressure. He has to win the next quarter. If he goes into the first quarter of the next game and the score is 7-3 and Florida State is down, going into the second quarter, it's immense pressure. Going into halftime, he has pressure from now until he corrects this thing. But the one thing that we all must remember, in sports, whether it's baseball,
yes,
the long season of baseball, or the short season, which is really long in its entirety in the NFL, we got to remember one thing: a lot is going to change from the time of when Florida State lost their two games last two weeks to the time when Florida State has to go to Notre Dame and go up against Notre Dame. Okay, so and if Notre Dame loses to Florida State, we got to remember things will change too. So we got a long way to go, but Norvell has to win the next quarter.
So, okay, they're going to the next game. And Norvell is not successful again.
You mean we lose?
Yes.
Like we lose the next game? Oh, no. He gets called into the office now immediately. And, you know, they tell him you have four quarters then.
Four quarters to get this turned around?
Yeah, otherwise we're going to start to move in a different direction. They won't fire him on the spot because the man is
No. I understand it, but do they start looking for possibly the replacement for Novak?
I think discussions start to happen of what's actually going on first. And you'll let the season play out. You got to start watching what's going on in the locker room. Because, listen, these players, like we talked about before, these guys are walking around with the bling you said and everything like that sources are saying. I mean, look. These kids are unlike before. Bobby Bowden,
like I mentioned
to you before, Bobby Bowden was able to tell guys from Florida State, listen, you either play right or it's back to Opa-locka. It's that simple. And if guys don't want to play and want to dog it, you're going back to Opa-locka.
You can't – that doesn't scare these guys no more because that worked with us.
Right.
That worked with guys that like me because we came
– that's right.
We didn't have nothing. We weren't getting paid.
That's right.
You tell a guy like DJ – I'm going to send you back to the hood. You can't see
that's
me.
Right. He
I
said,
got $1 million in the bank.
He said, that's right. I got $1 million in the bank. And he said, well, you know what? I go to the draft. I'm good. See, you can't get to these kids no more.
That's what I'm saying. The word of saying, I'm going to send you back home. Like coaches used to tell us, you don't get it together. Well, I'm going to send you back home to your
mom. Right.
Back
that's
in
right.
the hood.
That's
so
right.
That motivated them. Now, if these kids are getting $1 million, how do you motivate a kid that get $1 million that possibly making more than some of the coaches that are coaching him?
Is he listening to his coaches?
That's what I'm saying. Because
if the coaches if the coaches are coaching the kid up hard and he don't like to be coached hard and he got $1 million in his account, what are we going to get from a young man?
But that's what if this does not get corrected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's one name that is floating bigger than life.
And who would that be?
Don't you start. Don't do that.
Tony Sands wants to throw Deion Sanders' name into that hat.
No. I don't want to throw Deion's name. I said there's one name that you know going to pop up. That's all I said.
It would be. Here's my thing about Deion Sanders. Nice coach. Very good coach. Great guy and everything. Doing a great job over there. However, Mike Norvell calls his own plays. He's an offensive mastermind. Deion does not call any plays. Deion is more of a director of a football program. He's a motivator. I respect all of that. But I'm not looking to get rid of Mike Norvell for Deion Sanders or get rid of Mike Norvell.
Okay. All right. Okay. You say you wouldn't want to, and you're a Florida State fan. You say you wouldn't want to see that. But let's take it back to Willie Taggart.
Okay.
Let's go back to Willie Taggart.
Okay.
And we talked about this earlier. Okay. Coming into last season, end of last year, when they let go Willie Taggart, they were saying, oh, Willie Taggart's horrible. His recruiting is horrible. Everything about it, it was horrible. It was a horrible era for Florida State. Well, what got you to the point of where you could have been in the playoffs was the holdovers from Willie Taggart. So now we're in this year. No, this is Norvell's. Now Norvell, who is leading the ship. So now if we're saying him missing talent is being misjudged, who is that for? That ain't got nothing to do with Willie Taggart. We ain't Norvell. So now who is not judging talent like they're supposed to? That's Norvell. So do you stay with that?
Well, here's the thing. Florida State got a top number when it came to recruiting. Every year they get a top number. It's not about the talent, I don't think. In other words, did he bring in good talent? I think he brought in good talent. Are the kids motivated?
But wait, hold on. You say he brought in good talent. Okay. When you bring in good talent as a recruiter, at least I thought so. Okay. You evaluated this talent, correct?
Yes.
You've done some homework on this talent, correct?
Absolutely.
So if you've done the due diligence on this, then where does that fall at? At what point do I say, hi? Either you can't get the job done, your players are not playing that you went and got.
Mm-hmm.
You went and shot for these grocers. You did. Because they were saying when Norvell was on the hot seat once before, that all this stuff that was in the cupboard was bought by Willie Taggart, correct?
Right.
Okay, so now that cupboard got empty. They cooked all that food. And that was last year. Now we're into this year with Norvell's talent. And you're telling me, as a Florida State fan,
absolutely,
you're happy with what you see.
Absolutely. Well, let me explain it to you. You got 15 four-star recruits and 8 three-star recruits that came this year as a total of 23 commitments and players that came with a score of 90. And that put them in the top 10 of college football teams. And they were actually ranked preseason as the number 12 ranked team in terms of acquiring talent in the offseason. So to me, again, this is the tone. These kids, they look like the part. The resume said that these kids are supposed to be the part. They're just not showing up. These guys getting blown off the ball on the defensive line. You know, it was embarrassing the other day watching both of these games and how these guys didn't tackle anybody until they got into the secondary. I mean, these guys on the defensive line are huge. They got big numbers. They're recruited. I don't see the fire in
they
the in
practice.
The, in
and like you say, you don't see the fire.
No, I don't see the fire. No.
That fire shouldn't have. No. They knew that. No. I guarantee you Norvell knew that in practice. That fire wasn't in practice because a team that moves fast, plays fast in practice, you know it's going to transfer to the game. Norvell had to know that this is not the talent level of guys that can get him back to what you guys were thinking was a playoff berth because they opened it up. So you guys thought, Florida State fans thought automatically that it would be an automatic shoe-in, correct?
No, what we were saying is we should steamroll Georgia Tech and we should steamroll Boston College with no problems because not only are we the better team, we got the better talent. And on both sides of the ball, we didn't look like the better team and we looked like we didn't have the better talent. We didn't have no fire. I mean, we got outcoached. I want to say Bill O'Brien, I give him tremendous credit. This guy is an offensive mastermind. He came from the NFL, as we've seen. He's got a lot of experience. He basically was running a pro-style offense, which Boston College, don't get me wrong, we can go back to Glenn Foley and a lot of other quarterbacks back a long time. Boston College has always really had like a pro-style offense. However, Matt Ryan ran a pro-style offense at Boston College. They've always had this concept. But what Bill O'Brien was doing, I mean, he was drawing up some beautiful plays. And he basically undressed our defensive coordinator and our scheme. But again, it still doesn't make the excuse for guys on the defensive line not doing their job, people not tackling, people not holding their assignments.
But what the coach is holding them accountable for this during the practice, doing practices.
Hey, man, I got these recruits. I practice these guys hard. I expected them to come out, and these guys could lay the egg both games.
Listen, you guys, at some point, if things keep going the way they are going, Florida State fans, because right now it's split, because I talked to some Florida State fans, and they're saying, hey, we might entertain this, because I'm quite sure if Norvell does not meet the expectation of the fan base and the athletic department at Florida State,
right,
you don't think they're going to entertain Deion this time?
I think everybody would be under entertaining. I think anybody's name would be thrown in the hat if this goes sour for Florida State. But that's why I say, before we get to the point of saying Deion Sanders or who was the next coach of Florida State, let's see what happens in this next specific game. Do we see the hunger? Do we see guys flying around? Do we see pads popping? Because I didn't see it in the first two games.
Okay. What is it about Deion that everybody is going after? They don't think he can coach?
Let me explain it to you like this. This is my analogy of it. And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just going to give you my optics of it. My optics of it is that he's a motivator. He's a director of a football program. He's great, bro. But this is where it is. He does not have his own scheme on the offense or defensive side of the ball. So there's always good coaches like him, like Harbaugh was a special teams guy for the Ravens, right? He won Super Bowls. So it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't be a good coach. But in order to be an elite coach right now, you got to be calling plays, bro. Like Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, the list goes on. Andy Reid, you know, you got to be able to call these plays.
But he's called plays before.
He has, but I'm saying to you, though, I'm not hiring off of that. I'm hiring him off of the other things we spoke about, which is a motivator. He's going to get guys in line. You know, he's going to teach technique on defense. Right. So he still brings certain things to the table. It's just that I don't think that he's proven himself yet as a head coach enough for a Power 5 or a top 15 football program to say, hey, Deion, come run my program. He hasn't done it yet.
Have you heard, Thomas. Have you heard the soundbite from Dr. Umar Johnson, what he said about Deion?
I don't take anything that he says seriously, but okay.
But hey, wait, hold on now. You listen.
I'm just being honest with you. Listen, Dr. Man. Umar Johnson, anything he says is not credible.
I'm listening to the brother. I'm like,
no way. Dr. Umar Johnson is out to lunch. He has no credibility to me.
I'm going to play a little bit of that sound.
Okay.
Thomas, play some of that right quick, and then we're going to play some of
that. No, Deion ain't the loyal type to the black community because he the one who also criticized Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to get the whitest school in the country to offer him some money to come teach him. Because he couldn't win someone. They were making a statement. Deion was sent to Colorado to make a statement. And every one of them ninjas got a price. Find his and pay him off.
Oh, wow. See, you know what the problem with him is, Tone? He's so bad for society. And what I mean by that is everything that he comes with is divisive. He does not want to bring cultures together, people of other colors together, everything. And he even goes at Deion, who's changed Jackson State.
But you should have heard what he said. No,
No, listen.
He went crazy.
But listen, ladies and gentlemen out there, and Tony Sands will explain it to you. Deion Sanders changed the entire economic culture in the town and the community around Jackson State. There was no hotels in that community. There was no restaurants until Deion helped bring that. So when you hear Omar Johnson saying what he says,
it's crazy. Man,
it's crazy.
Because I'm trying to figure out, it's just like you starting to come in. We got about probably two more minutes on this Florida State and Deion's topic, because I know Deion's probably looking at there and multiple other places, even at the next level. And you know, I brought Urban on the show last week, and we talked about that same thing. Could my Cowboys be tanking?
How about we talk about, can Deion Sanders beat Nebraska this weekend? Because I think Matt Rhule and Nebraska are going to beat Colorado.
You was waiting to get that in.
That's right, bro. That's right, bro. Because last year he beat Matt Rhule, and rightfully so, because Matt Rhule said some things that were just totally, you know, off basis, which he apologized for, and they moved on. You know,
I think they beat him. I really do. I think they beat him this time.
I think Nebraska has sat there all year long, and that one loss right there, this their one game for the season right here, Tom.
No. I don't think they beat him. I think what happened last year will affect them again this year in their own stadium. They beat Nebraska. Hands down, they beat Nebraska.
Okay.
Yeah, they beat Nebraska.
Now, what will you say if he doesn't beat Nebraska?
Oh, you want me to say?
Now the program still needs work. The program,
but he'd be 1-1.
The program will still need work.
But he 1-1.
I agree.
It's crazy to think that the program does not need work. We all know it.
Right.
Needs work.
Right. Right.
And will it see enough turnaround in his era to get right to the top? I don't know, because I don't think he stays around too much long. I don't think Deion stays around too much. I think after this season here with Shador, Shiloh, Travis Hunter, because when he talks to me, when he talks about the guys that he brought in, those three names are the names that rings a bell to me. I think Prime looks at what's available to him. I think there'll be some NFL offers that come Prime's way.
Really?
I really do. And if we're starting, the Dallas Cowboys, I'm saying, starting more rookies this year than we've ever had in the past. That scares me.
Oh, man.
That scares me. That scares me. I'm going to be honest.
I mean, Jerry Jones trying to do the Deion Sanders. You talk about Deion Sanders, the Florida State. The real story is Jerry Jones trying to do a comedy show and sell tickets by getting Shador Sanders and Deion Sanders and trading Dak Prescott to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay. Well, you know, Dak got a no trade clause.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dak got a no trade clause. Yeah, Dak.
Wow. You definitely don't want to pay Dak Prescott. You definitely don't want to pay Dak Prescott.
And it's showing that he don't want to pay him. He don't want to pay that $60 million, because that's what Dak will be in the market for, $6 million.
But then again, who does he want to pay? Because he made CeeDee Lamb wait.
But I think that was more for fashion, and you know, that was more for bringing that notoriety to the Cowboys. I knew he loves 88. He loves 88.
CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb. You got three guys that are the monumental guys for the Cowboys moving forward. In my personal opinion,
yes,
are going to be CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and Mr. Diggs on the out. No, absolutely not. Trayvon Diggs, brother.
I don't know about Diggs.
You got to go with the three young guys, man.
The reason why I say I don't know about Diggs is because he's coming off a serious knee injury. And I don't think right now he's really 100% ready.
Okay.
I don't think he's 100%
but
ready.
Let's give him a year, though. I mean, you know, coming off of those injuries, you got to give a guy a year to be able to get his comfortability back on his position. But, I mean, those are the three pillars that I would be building off of. Dak Prescott is Ezekiel Elliott era, guys from that era.
Dak is protected. That's one thing about his contract. Like I said, one of my viewers is saying that he also has a new franchise clause. So, he's protected. You can't just trade him off like you can do anybody else. But I don't think
you can't dump him off like how I dumped Russell Wilson. Okay.
No. But look at, I think Russ is starting week one, right?
Well, I mean, listen.
Don't start. Just act out.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Russell Wilson, we all going to see the real Russell Wilson this year with no Sean Payton.
Listen. Now, okay. All right. So now, here we go. And I know you're going to reverse it because these are your Denver Broncos. If Russell Wilson comes out and have a stellar game this first game, what goes to your mind?
I would fall out of the chair and say nothing else moving forward. I would be stunned. I think they're going to get steamrolled by the Atlanta Falcons.
Russ been quiet this year. Now.
Well, he has to be quiet because he doesn't have Sean Payton around it, who's a guru coach. But, you know, everybody tried to give Sean the bad thing. Sean made this guy work last year. Got some decent work out
wait
of
a minute. Wait a minute. Let's not undercut Tomlin.
But Mike Tomlin don't call the plays, though. You got Arthur Smith calling plays. And let's be honest, folks. Arthur Smith did a terrible job in Atlanta last year when he had Pitts. He had Bijan Robinson. Correct. He had Drake London. And he didn't utilize this young quality talent. Well, guess what? They're going to abuse Arthur Smith this first game, man. They're going to put up big points. I'm looking at a big score, like 30-13, 27-13, something big. And Kurt won't even have to do a lot.
And you're right about that. Let's talk about the one guy that's got to do a lot tonight. And that's the matchup between the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Big game.
In this matchup, is it a must-win for Lamar Jackson?
I won't put the word must win because he could have a good game and still lose, and then we sit there and say, well, he didn't win, right? No, not a must win for him. This is a statement game. For him and his team, all of them, they lost in the playoffs against this team last year. They could have won that game. All right. They got a tough enough team. You got Derrick Henry for a reason. You paid Derrick Henry. This is going to be ground and pound tonight. All right. I think they're going to bloody their nose. I do not think Kansas City is really ready for what Baltimore is going to do to them. They're going to really run the ball on them. And then you're going to have Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews open. I think Kansas City's in trouble.
Listen, the only thing I'm saying, I think that it is when you say I'm quite sure he wants to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Statement game.
And so that's why I say, is it a must win game?
Statement game, because a statement game means, okay, we got back at them after losing to them last year. It doesn't make it even, but we do own the head to head starting out the season. So we want to know that 0-1. And we got the head-to-head, which could come back into play later on in the season. So I don't want to call it a must-win game. Because, look, if he loses this game and then they beat them in the playoffs.
Correct.
Then we wouldn't, you know. So, but I'm going to say it like this. A statement game. Him, his coach, everybody, the entire crew, the kicker, Justin Tucker, every wide receivers, everybody. Rashad Bateman has to come to play finally. I mean, they got to really – everybody has to step up and really do their job tonight to beat Kansas City.
Okay, and so this is a tough one for me because I love the Chiefs.
Okay.
And I love Lamar Jackson. But I'm going Chiefs tonight.
Really? Really? What wide receiver do you think is going to get busy for Kansas City?
Kansas City groom wide receivers. You know
I
that.
I know. But this groom guy, Worthy is about 183 pounds. After eating two Subway sandwiches.
Receiver.
I agree.
Thought the same thing.
I agree.
When Tyreek Hill left.
And the same thing about Kadarius Toney when they got a little bit of work out of him for a little bit of 2 seconds.
So Patrick Mahomes make everybody around him raise their game. So I'm going to go. We look at that game. I'm going to the Chiefs. But we only got about 2 minutes. Let's go down. Let's go the big game of the week for the college game. And that's Texas and Michigan. Who you going with? Who you taking that game?
Texas, man. Texas, man. The Horns, man. That team is just loaded up with talent. And look, that's how I wanted Florida State to pop off the screen. You see how Texas is looking?
Yes.
You guys are just popping. The linemen are popping, guys, blowing people off the line of scrimmage. Defensive guys are getting the pressure on the quarterback. Wide receivers are running beautiful routes. It's all looking crispy. Michigan, no Harbaugh. They did their thing last year. It's Texas time right now.
I'm going Texas also. I trained a couple kids that loves Michigan. And I rip them every day about Michigan, you know. So
right.
I'm going to go Texas with that one. I'm going to go to Chiefs tonight.
Okay.
And then, you know, I will I'm a pick Cowboys? My Cowboys this weekend really? Against Cleveland Browns. But that's and I'm quite sure, you know, you know how that go. But
I can't say anything about it. I can't say nothing about the Deshaun Watson, brother. Can't say nothing about his arm. So, I don't know who he is.
And see, I'm gonna love to see which number four is good. But hey, we got about a minute, but I'm gonna squeeze this in. Guys, listen. Maybe next week's show, I'm going to bring an interview to you, parts of it, that's going to blow you away. I had the pleasure of having a sit-down interview with a strong, how some people look at it, he might not be that well for this South Florida area. Just stay tuned next week. I'm going to give you the nuggets each day this week. I'm going to give you who that person is. But I had a sit-down interview with him, and I'm quite sure if you're living in South Florida and if you are a University of Miami fan, it's going to drive you crazy with some of the things that were being said in this interview. And this guy was the NIL before the NIL. We're closing off here on the Tony Sands Show. Like I told you, the NIL before the NIL. You don't want to miss next week's show. I'm bringing it to you. It's going to be a banger of a show. This interview, we sat with this young man. We sat at him for 4 hours on this interview, but it was a great interview. So, listen, you going to Texas? You going to Ravens? I'm going to Chiefs. We both taking Texas. We'll be back here, guys. We closing out.
Yes, sir.